Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 31-20 loss for the Titans yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I am delightful this morning. How are you guys today?
We are doing very well. So, Corey, I guess we'll start with the game yesterday. A tough loss for the Titans. Their second in a row. They dropped to 5-2 on the season. What were your takeaways from the loss to Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a few things. You know, number one, I was shocked by the interception by Tannehill. I thought really kind of changed the game because they were mowing right down the field. And that, I think, was probably the worst decision he's made since he became the starting quarterback of the Titans. First and goal. I mean, interceptions are always bad, but on first down, it's really bad because, I mean, incomplete's not bad there. He's still got two more chances to score. So I thought that was a bad play and a big decision from a guy who's played exceptionally well. Special teams is really disturbing. I kind of brushed it off last week because I felt like special teams have largely been good, but this is 2 weeks in a row. We'll be seeing bad snaps, bad coverage, another missed kick, which in those conditions I thought was a questionable decision to make. But special teams did not help you win, and that's a problem. And then on defense, that was just to not register a sack or even hit the quarterback very much against the group that the Bengals put out there is just completely unacceptable. And it falls on the players, and it falls on the coaches. It falls on everyone because what they are doing is not good enough. It's not close to good enough.
Yeah, you kind of buried the lead there, Corey. I was nice of you to give the defense a little bit of grace first and then get to them. But you bring up good points because I do agree. You know, that pick, you know, if they go right down,
and it's 7-3,
and you got the lead. I mean, look, who knows? We have no idea how these games will unfold. I think any play or score or whatever could totally change the course of a game, but that did feel big, and then you combine it, compound it, you know, with the missed field goal. But the defense, so Vic Beasley, I'm not a huge Pro Football Focus lover or believer. I think those you have to take that with a grain of salt. But I do enjoy John Glennon tweeting them out every Monday morning. And I'm seeing Vic Beasley with a 32-2, which for anybody who follows those, you know, like bad is 60-50. It's like kind of like a grade in school. That's an F, right? 32-2.
Yeah.
32-2, I don't know that I've heard a score that low, but the guy is making no impact at all. It's a big investment in him. We're about midseason. Do you think it's time to just look somewhere else?
Well, I think what's been shocking to me, Joe, was how they disregarded Kamalei Correa and gave him no time to play. When we've seen Kamalei Correa be a good player for this team to the point where he wanted to leave. And I kind of get it watching Vic Beasley play, saying, I'm not playing over this guy. I had 5 sacks for this team down the stretch last year. I get that frustration. I know Derek Roberson was sick yesterday, but we've seen them go out with these three linebackers over and over again when they're not producing. And so to not bring out another one is mind-boggling to me at this point. But look, Vic Beasley lacked fire because he didn't show up to camp on time. You don't see any urgency out of him on the field. And the only time you hear his name is when he's offsides or losing containment. And I've never met Vic Beasley. I don't have anything for him or against him. All I know is for $9.5 million, he is not helping this football team win games at all. And for a guy who had 15 sacks in a season, you say, what the heck is going on? Because you know, he's not even close at this point. So, I mean, to me, who else do you put on the field? Well, you got to try to get Derek Roberson on the field because we've seen Derek Roberson get sacks. Okay, we've seen him do it. They've got to get somebody on the field who can get there. because right now they have 7 sacks in 7 games and against 4 backup offensive linemen on a line that wasn't very good to begin with, they didn't get a single sack, and that's just embarrassing.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Corey, after the game yesterday, Mike Vrabel said he's certain that not hiring a defensive coordinator is not a factor with this defense. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the follow, Joe. That was good. That was good stuff. No. We never got an explanation for the decision to not hire a defensive coordinator. I've always thought that there was somebody he wants and he knew he couldn't get for a year, and maybe that's it and maybe that's not it. But I do know this, and look, I could be completely wrong, but this is me, my philosophy in life, and the way I look at things. You have to have someone who's in charge. And so, like, the Dallas Cowboys, nobody ever looks as the head coach as the guy in charge as long as Jerry Jones is there. And I always feel like that neuters the head coach because the players just look at him and go, you're not in charge, Jerry's in charge. And they don't follow, you know, because who do the players always blame? They always end up blaming the coaches there. Shane Bowen is not the defensive coordinator. You know how come I know that? Because next to his name it says outside linebackers coach. The players know that. They know that he was not given the defensive coordinator's job. So it's not his job. It's Vrabel's job. Until it's someone else's job, it's Vrabel's job. And the only year Vrabel's been a defensive coordinator, his defense finished 32nd out of 32 teams in the NFL. Maybe he is a great defensive coordinator, and for whatever reason, it's not happening. I think he's a great position coach. I think he's done a wonderful job as head coach. But as far as running a defense, it wasn't good in Houston. It was the worst in the league. And this defense seems to be getting worse. So, you know, if he sees something, then he needs to fix it. And, you know, we always hear, we need to coach better, we need to play better. Well, then coach better, because right now it's not good enough.
So I'm getting some people asking me, okay, they got to hire a DC, right? And it's like, well, no, you can't hire a D coordinator
mid-season
and say, okay, this is our new defense now, guys. I mean, hey, I guess you could argue, could it be worse after yesterday? But
the only thing you could do is if Dean came back. That would be the only thing you could do.
Getting the band back together. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Dean's defense and the communication would be there. And by the way, don't we hear that from the players every week? Communication, communication, communication.
And coordination.
Well, that's my point. What is communication? It's coordination. So, sounds like a void to me.
Yeah, so that's just not happening. I mean, they have to. These guys have to figure it out with the titles they have and in that room. And Vrabel's talking about coming earlier and all that stuff, right? But they can make changes with personnel. Do you think that John Robinson needs to do something here before the deadline tomorrow?
Well, I've advocated for a while here that you can't. I mean, with the team's cap situation, I can't see them getting rid of high draft picks. So they have to have, somebody with lower draft picks. I think the New York Giants are a fire sale waiting to happen. So if Golden is still there, if you can find someone who can get to the quarterback, I mean, it can't be worse than what you've got. Unless you truly believe the guys you got are going to get there. But they got to figure it out. I don't see a huge move because, I mean, who's available? Who's available? I mean, Golden from the Giants would be the only one that I can really think of. I mean, I think there's some talk about in Washington Kerrigan being available.
Yeah, they've said no, though, apparently. Or Schefter reported that they won't trade him, so, yeah.
Yeah,
McKinley, Tack McKinley, take another Falcon who's not playing well. You could do that.
Yeah, I don't ever understand this desire to take people from bad teams. And that doesn't mean they're all bad players. But when bad teams don't want to keep them, it should tell you something.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, last thing for you before we let you go here. Looking ahead to Sunday, you have watched the Chicago Bears very closely. What sort of matchup are we in for with that Chicago Bears offense going up against this Titans defense? It's going to be a lot of fun.
We are going to have that third down defense ineptitude tested massively. Okay. Look, Nick Foles is not very good. I do like some of the Bears receivers, though. I think Darnell Mooney can play. He's a rookie from Tulane. And Allen Robinson can play. And the Titans, I mean, Jonathan Joseph's just done.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's just in it. And I feel bad for him because he's in a position he shouldn't be in. You know, he wasn't signed to this team to play the position he's playing right now. But they've had so many injuries that he's been forced out there way, way too much. And he just physically can't do it. I mean, this guy was a great player for a long time, but Father Time is just catching up with him. I mean, Joe Burrow just looked at him and just went to work. I mean, it was sad. So those guys will see the tape, and the Titans need to get Adoree Jackson back on the field. When was the last time Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler were on the field together?
Carolina last year.
Yeah.
Carolina. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long, long time. So look, the Bears offensive line isn't very good, but four backups from Cincinnati just held them sackless. Nick Foles is a statue. So he's not as mobile as Joe Burrow. They don't run the ball particularly well. They shouldn't score a lot of points, but, you know, their defense is pretty good. And if they score 21 or 23, it might be enough.
Yeah, certainly going to be interesting. It's a test that's going to be interesting to watch. The Chicago Bears offense against the Titans defense. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, appreciate you taking time to join us, man.
No problem. Hey, Joe, congrats on your Spartans.
Oh,
what
wow.
A victory.
Yeah, there's a young child running around our neighborhood all day with his little mini Paul Bunyan trophy, apparently. So I was not there to witness this, but apparently he's talking a lot of trash.
Yeah, good for him.
That was wild.
Old Jim Harbaugh, the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks, yeah. Corey. We appreciate it, man.
They should play for a pair of khakis from now on.
They really should.
The khaki cup.
Be a much better trophy, I think. Just walk around in Harbaugh's khakis.
He stopped wearing those, by the way.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Couldn't tuck his sweater into him anymore.
Corey, thanks, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
Later, guys.
Man, what a victory for your Spartans.
Did not
see that one coming.
Not my Spartans.
But you went to school there.
Yeah, but, dude, you cover a beat for 20 years. They're not your Spartans anymore. But
I'm aware.
I feel good for my family. They're happy.
There you go. When we come back, we'll dive back into this inept performance for the Titans defensively yesterday. How in the world did they not get a sack against this offensive line? We'll discuss that next. But first, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the Masters. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates on Thursday and Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Bellmead for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.